This morning, the scripture reading will be coming from Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verses 1 through 8. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verses 1 through 8. I will be reading from the New King James Version. To everything there is a season, a time for every purpose under heaven, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to pluck what is planted, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to break down and a time to build up, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones, a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to gain and a time to lose, a time to keep and a time to throw away, a time to tear and a time to sow, a time to keep silence and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time of war and a time of peace.
Blessing it is for us to be here on this morning. You are visiting with us. I want to let you know you are indeed our honored guests. We're thankful for the love that you have demonstrated and hope, pray, and trust that life is going all right, okay, that decisions are being made according to the Word of God and the stance of truth. If you're visiting with us, I want to let you know indeed you are our honored guests. And if you look at the screen that is behind me, you'll see the QR code where we will be looking at some of the notes. Of course, there's always things that are not in the notes that are said, but this is a guideline that helps us. And this month, we've been talking about the family, the first institution that God established when he created man. And so there's always things that's going on in life that cause us to question. And one of the questions I often get, especially as families, is how do you strike the balance? Where's the balance? And when Stephen Aiken was here, many of you may not know him. Many of you do remember him. He would always ask me a question when we're studying. So where's the balance? Where's the balance? And the reason why is because sometimes we can go too far one way and we can go too far another way. And when we consider the balance of things as it relates to the scriptures, God is a God of balance. He's a God of balance. And I find it often amazing that when we consider the commands of God and then you think about those things that he teaches us that are a matter of option, there is a great balance in the two. And so I want us to consider some things because the family must strive to strike a balance, must strive to strike a balance. And whether or not you have children at home or not, whether or not you are married or maybe you're a widow, widower, there's always room for you to be balance and to help others with balance. Perhaps you're seeking someone to marry, someone that you're willing to court. There's a balance that must be struck. And so even in the Lord's church, one of the difficulties sometimes is striking the right balance. Do we go too far left, too far right? Or maybe we should just stay where God is. And if you stay where God is, you'll actually be the most balanced person you can be because God is a God of balance. Before we actually get started, I will say that I told Evelyn this morning that I feel pretty uncomfortable talking about some of the things I want to talk about because I'm probably coming more from a philosophical perspective, and I really don't like that, but it is what it is. And what I mean by that is you'll hear a lot of application. I'm going to talk about a lot of application instead of a lot of scripture. Now, you see a lot of scriptures on your notes, but I want to try to give as much application as possible. And the reason why is because sometimes people don't truly understand the directness of the scriptures. And so you need to give them a lot of things to apply. Brother Tobias is real good at that. And so that's why it's a blessing to have him here, that he balances out the pulpit and many others. However, when we consider the family who proclaims Christ as Lord, it's difficult to strike the balance. You know, if I'm wanting to really be a parent one day, or maybe a wife one day, a husband one day, maybe I'm a wife now, a husband now, a father now, I have to learn how to strike the balance. Where is the balance in the things that God will have me to do? Well, when we think about church and recreation, family time, hanging out with friends, how do I know what to do, where to do, where to go? How much time to spend with this person, that person? What do I do with that? Well, when we consider the management of time and doing things right, the simple answer is fearing God and keeping His commandments. For this is the whole duty of man. And for this reason, we had Ecclesiastes chapter 3 read. Because one thing that I've recognized as a young man growing up in my mother and father's home, they would always strive to tell me there's a time for everything. When you go to church, that's not the time to play. When we were kids, we had church clothes, play clothes, school clothes. And the church clothes you had, if you dared go outside in them, you got in trouble. When I was a kid, and I don't know what y'all do now, but when I was a kid, you didn't play in your church clothes. You came home, you took them off, put them on a hanger or put them inside of the drawer, and then you put on your play clothes. You went outside and played. That's what you did. I'm just telling you what we did. There was a balance. And so at church, if my brother and sister was in there giggling during church, or playing in church, Mom would take those two fingers, she would squeeze and turn. And when I got older, I asked, why did you have to turn it? The squeeze was enough, but why did you have to turn it? You know, and I would just sit there and look at her like she was half crazy, because she said, this is not the time to play. This is a time to reverence God. This is a time to sing to the Lord. Pay attention. Those are the things that she would teach. So when we would go out and play, she would say, play. Sometimes we'll sit over there and we'll mope and complain and be mad because we didn't get our way. You want me to take you home? No, then play. There was a time for everything. And so when we consider the book of Ecclesiastes, there's a time for keeping the commandments of God, and there's a time where you can do kind of what you want to do, as in matters of opinion. What do we mean by that? Let's look at Ecclesiastes chapter 3 again. Brother James did a wonderful job reading it. We're going to read for emphasis sake. To everything there is a season or time, a time for every purpose under heaven, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant, a time to pluck up what is planted, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to break down and a time to build up, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones, a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to gain, a time to lose, a time to keep and a time to throw away, a time to tear and a time to sow, a time to keep silence and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time of war and a time of peace. There are many things that are said in those passages that are just great, wonderful, powerful. Some very challenging, some pretty easy, depending on where you are, what stage you are in life. It depends. Just like a time for war and a time for peace. There are some people who are always at peace, and there are some people that are always at war. But there's a balance. There's a time for both, depending on the situation, the circumstances that's going on in life. So point number one, a time for everything. There's a time for every single thing under the sun, which tells me as a father, as a husband, as a Bible student, as a preacher, as a shepherd, there's a need for discernment. There's a need to be able to tell the difference between this and between that. There's a time for every single thing. So when we think about the principles, and Brother Brian loves to use the idea in the word principles, because when you think about principles, principle is another form of law. It's another form of law, which means that God may not have directly stated it, but as you look at the scriptures, you see the principles, you see the ideas that come forth from that particular law. And so that eliminates the idea, well, God didn't say it. Well, God didn't have to directly state it in order for the principle to come out and say, apply that, because it's going to go to one clear law. Eventually, it's going to get there. And so when we think about principles, examples, we need to consider Deuteronomy 29:29. And I want us to consider that passage and look at that passage real quickly. Because God has given us an answer for every single thing under the sun. Everything that we do or want to do, things that we think or want to think, God has talked about it in his book, whether directly or indirectly. And whatever God has not revealed, God is telling us, leave that alone. Notice Deuteronomy 29:29. Notice what your Bible here communicates to us. The secret things belong to the Lord our God, but those things which are revealed, meaning disclosed, uncovered, belong to us and to our children forever. Why? That we may do all the words of this law. Why did God give us his word? He wants us to do them. He wants us to benefit. He wants our lives to be good. As Jesus would say, the thief comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But I come that you may have life and have it more abundantly. God desires for all of us to have the abundant life, and it requires us to heed the word of God to strike the right balance in our lives. It requires the word of God. I guarantee you, once you get away from the principles, the examples, and the answers of Almighty God, you're already going in the wrong direction. You're either going to go too far right or you're going to go too far left. But with the word of God, at least God's word, it can help you to come up when you're feeling down. It can help bring you down when you're too haughty. God's word is designed to do that. And the family must realize that and recognize that. And so how do we do that? Proverbs 25, verse 2. When you think of Proverbs 25, verse number 2, the king searches out what must be learned. Friends, don't lean to your own understanding. We have too many people, especially families, that lean to what they think is right. Well, I feel that this is right. Well, don't feel, no. Don't grasp at the wind, grab the word of God. Don't seek answers from people who don't know God. Seek answers from the word of God and those who know God. And even when someone who knows God gives you an answer, hopefully, they'll direct you to the scriptures, the word of God, the mind of God, the ideals of God. Brethren, if we're going to strike the right balance in the home, yea, even in the church, and even demonstrate to the world, how can we strike the right balance? We got to go to the word of God. Because anytime we get away from it, friends, there's an end. And the end thereof is the way of death, destruction, despair, dismay, discouragement. I can keep on going with the D's. Because when we consider this, God's word is actually designed to help us to balance out our lives, to help us think properly, to help our families see the right way. And so God wants us to enjoy this life. But bad decisions causes us to not enjoy life. Bad thinking causes us to not enjoy life. Or to be too far right causes us not to enjoy life. To be too far left in our thinking spiritually causes us not to enjoy life. Why? Because now we're thinking in directions and in ways that are not in line with the scriptures, the word of God. And brethren, I can already tell you from experience, at one time in my life, rearing kids, I was too far right sometimes. Too far right. Why? Because I feared. What did you fear, Mike? I feared my family or my children going in the wrong direction. So I tried to stop it and cut it off at the pass. Instead of allowing certain things to unfold and let them learn a few lessons and then teach them on the other side of it. But you have to discern what lesson that is. Amen. You got to learn. You have to discern, which means that you might not always strike that nail on the head. But then you step back and you say, so son, what did you learn?
baby girl, what you learn from that? Well, I learned that this. Good. Are you going to do that again? Well, if it was good, yeah, I'm going to do that again because it worked. But if it's not good, no, I'm not going to do that again. Why? Because it affected my life too much. The only thing you have to do is look at something too long, and the next thing you know, you're looking at things for a lifetime. And one thing about the heart, the mind, if Jeremiah would say, in Jeremiah 17 in verse number 9, the heart is desperately wicked above all things. Who can know it? Watch what goes in your mind. So as a parent, as a father, as a mother, what do you let your children look at? What do you let them listen to? As a husband, as a dad, what do you listen to? What do you look at? Because whatever you listen to and look at, eventually is going to come out in your actions. For whatsoever a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. And we are what we think. I was talking to a preacher years ago, and he said the difference between someone who is successful and someone who is unsuccessful are decisions. That's true. And sometimes it's the decisions that other people make for you. Be careful. Why? Because there's a time for everything. There's a time for everything. 28 things you see in verses 1 through 8. 28 things that he says there's a season, there's a time for everything. You know what he's telling us? That life is so vast. It has so many things going on. You don't know if you're coming or going sometime as a husband, as a father, as a mother, as a wife. Don't even talk about children because they're all over the place. But they're supposed to be. They're immature. And the Bible teaches us that foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child. But the rod of correction, the word of God, and the proper perspective of the word of God, and the example of the word of God being lived out in the life of the parent drives it far from them. Amen. Grandmothers, grandfathers, same thing. And so one thing that I'm very much enjoying is how Gigi is laboring with her grandkids. That's Evelyn for y'all who don't know. She's Gigi. And I sit there and I watch her. And it makes me think about our kids. But I'm more focused now than I was then. Because then I was trying to make sure that I had enough money coming in. Then I was just trying to keep myself together because I didn't know what I was thinking sometimes. Then I didn't appreciate my kids being small and little, and my uncle, who is an elder in the Lord's church, saying that, well, these children, they're tough right now. I know they're hard, but one day if you do it right, they'll be like air beneath your wings and they won't give you a day of trouble. Well, after a while, they didn't. But you got to hang in there. But if I can just give you a little bit of advice, if you got little ones, enjoy them now. Because 18, 20, 25, 30 come real quick. When your youngest is 23, running his own business and has his own wife and kids, you look back and say, when did I go to sleep and when did I wake up? There's a time for everything. How do you balance it? I wish I had the answer, but there's a time for everything. That's the main point. And so when we think about life, life is tough all by itself. In Job 14:1, man born of woman is a few days and full of trouble. It is. But the word of God helps us to navigate through that. He has given us his word. He has given us the hope of eternal life, salvation. He has given us sound minds. 2 Timothy 1 and verse number 7. He has given us the church that we may come and worship him in spirit and in truth. This is why it's so important that consistency is promoted in the home. If you're hitting and missing in your worship, hitting and missing in worshiping God in spirit and in truth, hitting and missing with Bible study and Bible class, you come on Sunday but not Wednesday, then you wonder why you just can't seem to get over the hump. It makes sense. And so one old preacher said this, inconsistency in the father and in the mother will definitely lead to, watch this, unfaithfulness in the children. Sure will. Sure will. Just sit back and wait. You'll see it. But when you are consistent, this is where we're going to be on Sunday. This is where we're going to be on Wednesday. This is where we're going to be on this particular day. And you don't deviate from that. You can't help but be successful. Can't help it. And so it is true. Bring up a child in the way he should go. And when he is old, he will not or shall not depart from it. That's true, Brother Royce. And even though you may have to chastise that child, as the prodigal son had to be chastised by God, not the father, by God. Here, the father did his part, the child left, God chastised him, child came back. So, there's times you just got to just continue to stay on the path. What does that mean? When I think about worship, worship has a designated time that it begins and a designated time that it ends. You have some people, they say, well, all life is worship. That's false. Let me prove that. In Romans 12, verses 1 and 2, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. Watch this. Holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. The word service there is the idea of worship. Comes from the Greek word latreia, which literally means that it is something that we offer unto God. But then when you look at verses 3 through the end of the chapter, he tells you how to offer that worship, that service. That is not done in New Testament worship. God has outlined in the scriptures the things that should be done in New Testament worship. For this reason, we sing to God. For this reason, we pray. For this reason, we partake of the Lord's Supper. For this reason, we give. For this reason, brethren, we do those five things. And when those things are completed, we have then worshiped God in spirit and in truth. That don't take place Monday through Saturday. There's a time for everything, even with God. There's a time for everything. So, here's a little bit of encouragement. As a parent, as grandparents, let's make sure that our children see us being consistent with God in our worship and in our service to Almighty God and His people. The home must teach about these things and the different times of life. Look at letter C. Because it requires great wisdom. It requires paying attention. Balance, brethren, does not come by happenstance. Balance doesn't come by accident. Balance comes from you being intentional in watching, in listening, and learning your family. In Ephesians chapter 5 and verse number 15, the Bible teaches us that we need to be paying attention. Walk circumspectly. Walk carefully. The Greek word there is acrobat or acrobat. The idea of walking the tight rope. Pay attention. How do you strike the right balance? I promise you, if you're not paying attention to your wife, not paying attention to your husband, not paying attention to your children, you will go too far right and you will go too far left because you're not paying attention, not listening, not understanding. And I've gotten in so much trouble over the years that I just wasn't listening. And I'm sitting there looking right at her. Y'all smile. Y'all been there. Sitting there, I hear what you're saying. Then why did you say that when I said that? Because really, you was thinking about your golf game or thinking about that game. And the last thing you want is be watching the game and your wife standing in front of the television. And that's when you just quote Ecclesiastes 3. Baby, that's time for everything. Right now, I'm watching this game. Right? Mm-hmm. And she needs to understand that. It's time for everything. But it goes the other way, too. She got her hands full with these kids. That's not time for you to be trying to have some philosophical discussion. I got these kids. Wait till I get them to bed. Matter of fact, you can help me get them to bed, then we can really get to talking. Mm-hmm. There's a time for everything. Striking the balance. And when we strike the balance, brethren, it requires us paying attention. And so balanced life is challenging, and it requires the wisdom of God. If you look at Ecclesiastes 3, look at verse number 4. There's a time to weep, a time to laugh, a time to mourn, a time to dance. Life is not all serious, yet it's not all fun and games. There's a time for you to just chill out sometimes. But you can't always be joking and laughing, because there's some serious things in life. And the last thing you want is a serious situation to arise in the home and you don't take it seriously. But then the last thing you want is something that's intended to be a joke and you take it seriously. There's a time for everything. Striking the right balance. This will help us on the job. This will help us in society. This will help us everywhere we go. And the toughest times in life are putting things and people away from you. Look at verse 6. A time to gain and a time to lose. A time to keep and a time to throw away. There are times in which we grow in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus the Christ, and there are some people we just can't spend no more time with. Why? Because we're spiritual. We have the spiritual mind, Romans chapter 8, verses 4 through verse number 9, 5 through verse number 8, rather. And so there's a time for those things. And sometimes you just have to divorce people from your life because they're not helping you to be godly. Young people, if you have a young person that's in your life and they're tempting you to have sexual intercourse with them, you can't do that. They got to go. Amen. And we got brethren even in the church now chambering and fornicating. And some members, they know about it and they say nothing about it. Some members, we have them smoking and doing all manners of evil. Not saying anything. Got to strike the right balance. And so you take a step back. So how do I address this? What scriptures am I going to use? How do I apply this? Brethren, there's a time for everything. And one of the hardest things to do is to tell someone that you've been spending a lot of time with, we can't talk no more. Don't text me no more. Don't come to my house no more. Why? Because every time we get together, my mind is so far from God, I can't even see God. But then there's people that they truly help us get closer to God. Those are the ones you ought to be saying, hey, man, I need you to text me as much as you can. Come by the house as much as you can. Call me as much as you can. Let's study the Word of God as much as we can. Why? Because they're going to help me get closer to God. And brethren, if this life is not about being close to God, then this life is worth nothing. And so, point two, consider. How do we determine what is right, wrong, matter of the conscience? Look at Jeremiah chapter 6. Brother Ryan, as I was putting this lesson together, it was coming together real slow. I usually send Brother Ryan my QR code. And sometimes when I send it to him, it's bare bones. There ain't nothing on it. And he'll send me a message sometimes and say, well, you ain't got much there. I'm like, yeah, I'm still thinking. But at least you got my thought process so far. You got the title. And then sometimes I send it to him and it's all done. Depends. This was one of those where I needed to make sure that the philosophical didn't overpower the scriptures. In Jeremiah 6, verse 16 and 17, notice, I pondered this. Has God's people ever been in a position where they needed to choose right and wrong? Matters of the conscience? Absolutely. This is no new thing under the sun. Thus saith the Lord, verse 16, stand in the ways and see, and ask for the old path, where the good way is, and walk in it. Then you will find, notice, rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk in it. Also, I set a watchman over you, saying, listen to the sound of the trumpet. But they said, we will not listen. When I considered those passages, I considered how God wanted his people through Jeremiah to actually listen to what was being said by him. And he gave them the option. He gave them the option not only to just hear, but to listen and actually do what he said. They said, because of their corrupt mentality and them about to go into Babylonian captivity, they said, no, we're not going to listen. Okay, you won't listen? Brother Royce, you're going. Guess what happens when we don't listen to God? Guess what happens when the right is wrong and the wrong is right and we become indifferent to the right? We begin to go in the wrong direction. What happens when we have that mentality? The family structure begins to break down. But when we choose the right, everyone benefits. The parents benefit, the children benefit, the family benefits, the grandparents benefit, the church benefits, our neighborhood benefits, our land benefits when we listen to God. And so notice letter A, three ideas to consider. There's a way that is right, cannot be wrong. That's interesting. Number two, there's a way that is wrong, cannot be right. And number three, then there are matters of the conscience. It can be either right or wrong. Let's explore it. Because just because it's your opinion and just because you can do it doesn't mean that you may be right in doing it. As a matter of fact, the very fact that God has given us that leisure in matters of opinion, he's actually setting us up to either benefit or receive the consequences of our actions. But when we do that which is right, and is always right and cannot be wrong, we will always benefit from it. Even if we're persecuted for righteousness' sake, we're still benefiting. But when it's wrong, you won't benefit from it at all. Even on the front end, and even though sin is pleasurable, it's only pleasurable for a season. Yet righteousness is always pleasurable. It always benefits. So if you consider there's a way that is right that cannot be wrong, listen. You will never go wrong telling the truth. Study and doing spiritual things with the family is always good. You'll never go wrong with that. It is always right to do what is right. Always. As a matter of fact, if you're ever in the position where you have to tell the truth or tell a lie, go ahead and tell the truth now and go ahead and deal with the consequences now so you don't have to lie and deal with the consequences for however long. It's how you strike the right balance. The truth is the balance in that particular case. Notice number two, there's a way that is wrong cannot be right. It is never right to lie or deceive anyone. Speak truth with your neighbor. It's never right to go against God's moral system. Put adultery in there, fornication, whatever you want to put in there that God is against. It's never right to do those things. I don't care if society says it is all right for a man to transition himself to a woman. He can say that all he wants to. God made two genders. That's it. Period. So the world can say all that they want to. Excuse my terminology. It can go to hell in a handbasket. But the church, Jesus Christ is going to come back and get this church one day, and he's going to offer it to the Father, 1 Corinthians 15, verse 23 and 24, and will forever be with the Lord, 1 Timothy 4, 1 Thessalonians 4, 15 to 16. Brother, it's always right to do what is right. It's always right to do what is truthful. It is always right to reject wrong behavior and lifestyles. What about matters of the conscience? Attending certain concerts or going to ball games, nothing wrong with that at all. Just depends on what type of it is. I mean, I can't go to a concert and every word that's coming out of the mouth of the artist is, you know. Can't be up there and next thing you know, everybody's up there and they're twerking. You can't do stuff like that. Yeah, said it. Young people know what I'm talking about. Because some reason we seem to say, okay, well, I don't see nothing wrong with that. Well, hold on. But if that's the case, then that's immoral. That's not your call. That's not your call. Well, what about the next one? About playing video games and reading certain material? Depends on your conscience. How has your conscience been educated? Romans 14, 1 Corinthians chapter 8. Depends on the education of your conscience. There are some people whose conscience is stronger than other people's conscience. But Paul would even say that if eating meat in front of you offends you, I won't eat it in front of you. Amen. God took care of that. But guess what we do sometimes? Well, that's my opinion, and I'm going to force it upon you. Well, then God says, now you're wrong. Because now you're actually harming the conscience of a servant that my son died for. You see where the family is so important? Well, what does this have to do with the family? A lot. Watch this. If children have problems with certain things in the family, that's when you start having what I would call like a huddle. You bring your family together and you say, oh, so what's bothering you with this? What's the problem with this? Okay, well, you know what? Since so-and-so doesn't like this, you know what? Let's not do this. And then now mom and dad, they come up with a plan to try to educate that particular child and get them up to speed, if you will. Now you get them up to speed. Now you can talk to the whole family. Now we got them up to speed. Now we can go ahead and do this. Why? Everybody's up to speed now. Instead of imposing this upon them and making them do something that's against their conscience. Well, that's the same thing in the church. Okay, my brother doesn't like that. Well, you know, why don't we back off of that for a bit? Let's talk with him for about 6 months. Get him up to speed. And once we get him up to speed, now let's bring him back into the inclusion. You know what that is, brethren? That's striking the right balance. Let me tell you what some family members do. And let me tell you what some brethren do. Let me tell you what the world does. You know what? The United States of America, holistically, don't like some of the things that's going on. Yet that 2-3% say, we don't care. We're going to do it anyway. That's wrong. Amen. That's wrong. You don't do a nation that way. You don't do your family that way. Yea, the church. You don't do the church that way either. Why? Because that's not striking the balance. Perhaps that which is being done is not beneficial to the nation, not beneficial to the family, not beneficial to the church. Well, if it's not beneficial, then leave it alone. Leave it alone. Let's learn. Let's take care of one another. What if this decision doesn't glorify God? Then that's a no-brainer. We don't do it. What if this decision does glorify God? Then we better go ahead and consider it. We need to consider it. So if God is not glorified, consideration must be had. This is challenging if one is not taught correctly. Will my decision to live and do what I'm doing please me or God? So I want you to turn to Romans 15. Look at verses 1-3. And I hope you really appreciate this passage. If you notice, I put Galatians 1:10 up there, but also I put Colossians 3 and verse number 17. But I think you'll appreciate Romans 15, the first three verses, more. We then, we who are strong, ought to bear with the scruples of the weak and not to please ourselves. Let each of us please his neighbor for his good, leading to building up edification. Watch this. For even Christ did not please himself. But as it is written, the reproaches of those who reproached you fell on me. Even Christ didn't do things that pleased himself. Hold on, John 8:29, Jesus did those things that pleased the Father. Brethren, fathers, husbands, wives, mothers, you can't do things that please you all the time. You got to do things that please your spouse. Your children, the congregation. We can't always have it our way. Oh, brethren, I tell you. You want to find someone that wants it their way all the time, you'll find someone that won't get along with people. I promise you. Because it always has to be their way. And everyone has to walk on eggshells around those type of people. And those type of people, I don't care what you do, they're never satisfied. And some of them are in our house. Some of them in the congregation. I mean, we've got a whole bunch of them in our nation. So how do we strike the right balance when you got someone in your home that always has to have it their way? How do you strike the right balance? Number one, you call them out on it. That's right. You call them out on it. You use the word of God. This is why we need to get into the scriptures. We need to study the scriptures. You can't have it your way with this, baby. This is going to hurt us. It's going to hurt the family. If you do this, it's going to hurt us. I think I'm going to try it. You tried it, and it actually hurt the family. Baby, I told you it was going to happen that way. Brother Mike, how do you know that? Been there. Oh, Brother Lance, I'm putting my business out on the street, am I? Been there. I'm going to try. This going to work. Didn't work. So Miss Smarty Pants says, you know, you need to watch your decisions because what you do affects us too. Amen? Watch your decisions. I tell young men all the time, why are you dating a girl that you don't want to listen to later? Don't do that. If you're going to date her and marry her, you need to listen to her. I'm just telling you. You might as well learn. And I find it interesting, as we close, I'm not going to give you the last point. You can read it yourself. As we close, the older must teach the younger the implication, meaning that it's not in the text directly stated, but it's in the text because you got to draw it out. The younger need to listen to the older. Man, I tell you, you want to strike the right balance in the home? And old people used to say all the time, God gave you two ears and one mouth. And then he gave you lips around those teeth and teeth around the tongue. Double protection. Hush it up. Open your ears. Man, I tell you, I wish I'd have learned some things and just paid attention. So about 10 years after being married, I started listening and things started turning around for me. That's a long time. Pretty dumb. Yeah, I know. It's truthful, though. Don't wait that long. Don't wait that long to have the attitude, it's going to go this way, and I don't care what anyone says. Don't wait that long. Because some people wait that long even listening to God. And the way of a transgressor is hard, Proverbs 13:15. And sometimes when we make those decisions, we don't strike the right balance in our lives. But that's just like in the days of Achan. You can't make decisions that just affect you. They affect everybody. So I say this. Is there someone not here today that you believe should be here today? Call them. Text them. Ask them, hey, where are you? Because the longer you stay out, the worse life gets because your mind begins to go in directions. And the direction that your mind goes in, I can lean to my own understanding. That's the direction that you go in. Everything else is just the fruit of that decision and that thought process. So, strike the right balance. Have the right people around you. Get you some rest. Get people around you that's going to build you up. You be that person that's going to build up others. And you help your family see that life is not just about working and making money. Life is about fearing God and keeping his commandments. This is the whole of man. Because the only thing you have to do to realize that life is not about money is to die. And realize you brought nothing into this world and it's certain you take nothing out. But what will you take with you? You're going to take your soul. That's going to stand before Jesus Christ and give an answer of the things that it has done in the body, whether it be good or bad. You're going to take that with you. Question. Don't you want to teach your children, teach your family, and teach your neighbors, and teach the congregation, and teach the nation that this is the best life to live, the abundant life, the balanced life, the helpful life, the hearty life, the spiritual life? That's what you want. And when you do that, oh, you can't help but to remember the Lord's death till he come. You can't help but to sing songs of praises to your Father. You can't help but to hear the brethren singing and you're being uplifted and encouraged. can't help but to go out and seek and save the lost. You can't help but to be the best person that you can be because you're walking spiritually. You can't help but to do those things. And you'll have a posterity that's coming behind you. In other words, you'll have your family coming behind you, and they want to be spiritual too. So life is about that. Let us stand. If you're not a child of God, let us stand. If you're not a child of God, we want you to be. Be obedient to the gospel. Be obedient to the gospel. The death, the burial, the resurrection, the appearance of Christ. Need to be obedient. Need to obey the gospel. And when you obey that gospel, God will add you to his son's church, the church of Christ. Don't you want to be a member of the Lord's church? Don't you want to be a member of the church that Jesus Christ suffered, bled, and died for? Not some man-made church that some man concocted in his own mind, but the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Be faithful in that church. Be faithful in the church of God. Why? Because that's the church that Jesus Christ died for with his own blood. And he bought it with it. But maybe you're a child of God and you haven't been balanced. You've been too far right or too far left. Brethren, stay with the word of God and apply it properly and watch your life flourish. It will teach you consistency. It will give you courage. And you'll have the hope of eternal life waiting for you as we sing our Savior's invitation.